In your Bibles this morning, Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. And today's message, and we're looking at Luke chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 27. I'd like to read this passage of Scripture to you. And we're going to meet up with a man named Levi. He's also known and probably more often known as Matthew the disciple, who writes and is given credit for writing the book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. God's going to do a great work in his life, and we're going to meet him on the day that he meets Jesus. And it's exciting to see how God is going to work in the heart of Levi, Matthew, the publican. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 27, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said to them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Today's message is titled this, "A Publican Named Levi." A publican named Levi. Now, the word publican is something that we can identify with. A publican is a tax collector. Now, it's pretty exciting to think that the Lord has orchestrated that on April the 14th, I'm going to tell you about a tax collector that gets saved. Isn't that ironic? And a tax collector gets saved. The next thing you know, God might save a lawyer. You just never can tell if it's possible. And I'm joking. We've got some lawyers around here. And a publican named Levi. God's going to do a great work in this man's life. Up to now, we're in Luke chapter 5. Up to now, Jesus has saved a paralyzed man. Jesus has saved and healed a leper. Jesus has saved and healed a demon-possessed person. And now we're going to watch the Lord as he calls and saves a tax collector. Now, I want you to know something, that the Lord Jesus is in the saving business. And if you get to the place in your heart and your mind that you think that God can save anybody but me, you're wrong. The Lord Jesus loves you, and you're not too far gone that God cannot change your life. And the Lord loves you, and he wants to help you. And he wants to do a great work in your heart. Also, I'm confident as we study this passage of Scripture today that the Lord wants to speak to Christians, save people today, and remind us of how we're to treat people that look different, smell different, act different, folks that need the Lord. And so let's look together. A publican named Levi. And we'll just start here, number one, with Levi the publican. Levi the publican. We're going to meet Levi, and I want to talk to you some about him. So the Scripture says in verse 27, "After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi." Jesus is making his journey, continuing his earthly ministry, and he sees a publican named Levi. We'll talk about a publican for a minute, and I want you to understand a publican. The publican in the Scripture, the tax collector in the Bible, was somebody that was very much despised, disdained, and looked down on. A publican was, in fact, a tax collector. You know, it's really hurts your feelings to pay taxes, doesn't it? And in this moment, it was especially taxing to pay taxes because the publican was actually a Jewish person that was contracted by the Roman government to take taxes from the Jewish people. At this moment, the Jewish people, they didn't have their own land. They didn't have their own nation. It reminds us, we need to be praying for Israel this morning. They're under attack again. The Jewish people did not have their own government. They were actually ruled and by the Romans at this time. And the Roman government, so what they did, the Roman government exacted taxes on the Jewish people, and they used Jewish people who would sell themselves out to the Roman government in order to collect the taxes. The tax collector, the publican, was somebody that, as far as all the other Jewish people were concerned, they were scum of the earth. They had sold out their people. A publican was also somebody that was notorious for being a cheat and a stealer, a robber. You see, the publican was required to collect taxes, but the publican was also allowed by the Roman government to keep anything that they took that was over what they were supposed to take. And so publicans were notorious for being cheats. They were notorious for being traitors. They were often and almost always excommunicated from the Jewish culture and family. Did you know that a tax collector, a publican, was not allowed in the synagogue? They weren't allowed in the place of worship with the Jewish people. The publicans were folks who were considered the worst of the worst. Now, I want you to just take a moment and imagine who in the world you would consider the worst of the worst of sinners, and I want you to put a publican in the same spot. People despise publicans. As a matter of fact, there are lots of so-called churchy people, the Jewish folks who are trying to keep the law, who really thought that the publicans had sold their souls to something other than God, the publicans. Now, the Bible says something interesting here, that after these things, he, Jesus, went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Now, the Lord saw him. He sees him, and we know here in just a moment, the Lord Jesus is going to ask him to follow him. Now, when we look and think about people who could do something for Jesus, people who could accomplish something for the glory of God, I want you to know something. We're not thinking about a publican. Let me tell you who was. Jesus was. Jesus saw Levi, and Jesus already knew that there's a person, as poor as his reputation is, there's a person that if he'll follow me, I'll be able to do great things with his life. I'm so encouraged by that thought. Now look, you're here and you say, in my opinion, I'm the lowest of the low. Or perhaps you think like this, in the opinion of churchy people, I'm the lowest of the low. Let me tell you something. Your opinion doesn't matter. The churchy people's opinion doesn't matter. The Lord's opinion is what matters. And Jesus, he looks at you and he understands that if that person will follow me, I can do something of eternal good and make an eternal difference through their lives. That's what we're seeing. We see Levi, the publican. He's a publican. It's terrible. He was a cheat, a liar, a thief, a con. The Lord decided he could save him and use him. I heard this joke about a con. I think you'll like this. There was a man got pulled over for speeding. He happened to notice on this particular day, it looked like there was a new deputy and then a sergeant both in the same car. So the new deputy comes up to the window and the man rolls his window down and, "Yes, sir." And the deputy says, "You were speeding and I need to see your license." And man, the car says, "I don't have a driver's license." He said, "I've been busted 3 times for drunk driving. I don't have a driver's license." And the deputy, the new guy, he's like, "Well, I need to see your registration." The man says, "I don't have a registration. I don't think. I don't know." He says, "This ain't my car." He said, "I just stole it yesterday." He said, "I'd be glad to get in the glove box and get the registration from whoever the owner was, but I just want you to know there's a loaded gun in the glove box." And the deputy said, "Sir, I'm going to have to search your car." And he said, "Well, I'm just going to go ahead and warn you, that's fine, but there's a dead body in the trunk. I just killed somebody." And the young deputy's had all he could stand. He said, Don't you move. I got to get some help." And so he goes back to the car and gets in the car and he sends his sergeant out. He said, "Sarge, this guy, he don't have a driver's license. He stole his car. He's got a gun in the glove box and there's a dead body in the trunk." The sergeant goes up to the car carefully and he says, "Sir, I need to see your driver's license." And the man says, "All right, here it is." He handed him a perfectly valid driver's license. He said, "My deputy said you didn't have a driver's license." He said, "Well, I do, right there it is." He So I need to see your registration. He said, but he said you got a gun in the glove box. He said, I don't have no gun in the glove box. He says, I'll give you my registration. He hands him a perfectly good registration. Sergeant said, I'm going to search your car because my deputy said there's a dead body in the trunk. He said, there's no dead body in my trunk. He said, he probably told you I was speeding too, didn't he? Now that's a good con. If you try it, tell him you learned it in church. Just kidding, don't try that. In all sincerity, when we look at Levi, there's no evidence that Levi was like the one good publican. He was bad. He was bad, but I'm reminded that we're all bad until we meet with Jesus, and Jesus makes the difference. Don't forget it. Levi was a publican. Not only is he a publican, but the Bible continues and tells us more in verse 27. In verse 27, the Bible says, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. What is important about that? Sitting at the receipt of custom. Let me just tell you, when Jesus meets Levi, Levi has not begun the process of cleaning up his act so he can become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's not how it worked at all. What's Levi doing on this particular day when he begins to follow Jesus? Levi is participating in the same wickedness that he's been notoriously participating in for however long. You know what the devil wants to sell you? A lie. He wants to sell you a lie that you could become a follower of Jesus. You could give your heart and life to Jesus, but you're going to have to clean up some stuff before you begin a relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from the pits of hell. As long as you're trying to self-reform, you are always going to come short. But if you'll get to the place where you just realize where I am, how I am, as rotten as I am, if I'll just start following Jesus today, God will change my life. I think it's sweet to see it. Jesus doesn't say, if you'll clean up your act a little bit there, Mr. Levi, the publican, then you can follow me and I'll do something great with your life. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus catches him and talks to him and invites him to follow him right in the middle, in the process of leading a life that is far from perfect. As a matter of fact, it is very bad and wrong. Look, the Lord wants to change your life where you are right now. And that's what he does with Levi the publican. I get so excited when I think about Levi the publican, because the next thing we know, he's not Levi the publican anymore. He's Matthew the disciple. He's Matthew the faithful Christian. He's Matthew the writer, inspired writer of the first book of the New Testament. I think it's wonderful what Jesus does. He was sitting at the seat of custom. The Bible continues in verse number 27. And Jesus said unto him, look at the last two words, verse 27, follow me. Follow me. I love those two little words. You know, a lot of folks try to overcomplicate the Christian life. They just try to make it so common. And as a matter of fact, you get in your mind that there's no way that I could be a Christian. You know what kind of habits I have? You know the things I've done? You know where let me just remind you of something. You can be a follower of Jesus. You see, it has nothing to do with knowing how to get to the destination. It has everything to do with being willing just to follow the person who does know how to get to the destination. Why would you follow somebody? At one time when I was in college singing in a traveling group for Crown College, We were at this church, and it was out in the middle of the country, and we were supposed to go and spend the night at someone's house that lived a significant distance away from the church, and I didn't know how to get there. It was back in the day before we had GPS and directions that way. So I followed. My job was to follow the person to their house. Well, I'm a adventurous driver. I'm not scared to drive, and I'm not scared to go fast. And I followed this guy, but I thought, man, this is ridiculous. I'm driving a church van, pulling a trailer. I got the quartet in the car with me. And this guy is on these back roads, and I'm supposed to follow him. And he is absolutely flying. And I'm like, I'm not losing him. I'm staying with him. I'm going to follow him. And I followed that boy about 30 minutes away from the church. And, it was all I could do to keep up with him. And we pull into his driveway, and I pull his driveway. He gets out of the car. He's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm following you. We're supposed to spend the night at your house." And he's like, "You're not supposed to spend the night at my house." I'd followed the wrong person. But the reason I followed him was because I didn't know how to get there. I follow people that know how to get where they need to go because I don't. And that's okay. You see, there's so much in my life I don't know. You know, I try to make some plans. How many of you have tried to make some plans along the way? How many of you have tried to make some plans along the way? Now you look back and you're like, man, that was ridiculous. My plans are really foolish. You know, they say that the most hilarious thing to God has got to be our plans. But we try to plan. We should plan. There's nothing wrong with it. But the bottom line is, I don't know what the future holds. But I have the opportunity to follow the person who does. And so Jesus, when he's trying to get somebody like a publican to have a life that's going to be used for the glory of God, instead of saying to Levi, "You're going to have to dress this way, talk this way, look this way," all these things that you find offensive when you're trying to get right with God, and I find them offensive too. The emphasis of the Christian life is not on the things that are on the outside. The emphasis of the Christian life should be on a relationship with Jesus, what's in your heart, and a willingness to just every day, the best you know how, to follow him. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll let him, God will lead you. If you'll let him, God will direct you. If you'll let him, God will do something with your life that only God can do. And you may find yourself in a situation just like Levi the publican. Jesus said, "Follow me." And when Levi followed Jesus, the next thing you know, he's Matthew the apostle. The next thing you know, he's Matthew, the inspired writer of God's word. The next thing you know, he's Matthew that God is going to use in a mighty way. I'm thankful for Levi the publican. Look, the scripture continues, verse number 28. Jesus says to follow me, and in verse 28, here's what Levi did. He left all, rose up, and followed him. You know what Levi did? Levi was willing to make a huge life change in order to follow Jesus. You know something else? Levi doesn't regret it. The devil wants you to think that if you give your heart to Jesus, you're going to have to give up on everything fun. That's a lie. The happiest people I've ever known are Christian people. The devil wants to tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to be sour and sad the rest of your life. You know why some people believe that it's a sour and sad thing to be a Christian? Because the Christians they know are sour and sad. And if you're one of them, you need to straighten up your act because you're doing a poor job representing Jesus. But you know what happens to Levi? Levi forsakes all, follows the Lord, and he's still happy. You know the first thing Levi does after he begins to follow the Lord? He throws a party. Verse number 29, Levi made a great feast in his own house. Levi the publican. I'm so thankful that God is in the saving business. I'm so thankful that God can use Levi the publican. God can save Levi the publican. That God wants to change lives right exactly where they are, when they are, how they are. That's the power that Jesus has. It's so sweet. Levi the publican, number one. Number two, let's look at his friends. I think it's very important we pay close attention. What happens? Levi follows the Lord. The Bible says in verse 29 that Levi made him, Jesus, a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans. and of others that sat down with him. What does Levi do? I want you to know, Levi gets saved. Levi puts his trust in the Lord. He begins to follow the Lord. Levi makes a change. And Levi, the first thing he wants to do, he says, I've met Jesus and I want all my friends to too. You know, a man that's come to the place that he knows that Jesus is his Savior and God changes his life, he wants to tell other people about it. I'll never forget when the Lord dealt in my heart about my sin and I got saved. I asked Jesus to forgive me and be my Savior. The Lord changed my life. I was 8 years old. I was just little. But I'll never forget that emotion. I'll never forget that feeling that God changed my life and I couldn't wait to tell other people about what Jesus had done in my heart. You know, it's so good. How many of you remember when you got saved, you couldn't stand it till you told somebody else about what Jesus did in your heart? Let me tell you something. That is an emotion, that is a feeling, that is a desire that the devil wants to take away from you, but it's something that should always remain. It should always remain. If you found that your desire to tell other people about Jesus, to invite other people to come to church, to point people to Christ, to point people to God's Word, to see God change other people's life, if you've seen that wax cold, that's something that as a child of God should be of concern to you. It should be a concern to me. You see, the first thing that Levi did is he rounded up his friends. What does his friends look like? His friends look like him. They're a bunch of publicans. And as a matter of fact, in just a moment, the scribes and Pharisees are going to say they're a bunch of publicans and sinners. And it didn't matter to Levi because he knew that Jesus was the kind of Savior that could save publicans and sinners. Oh, it's so sweet. No man wants to go to heaven alone. And we should be telling others about Jesus. Levi the publican, number two, his friends. Number three, his foes. You'll never guess what happens. Something great is going on and there's somebody that's aggravated about it. I remember this is one of the hardest things that I had to deal with as a very young pastor. I started pastoring Boiling Springs Baptist Church when I was 26 years old. And I always joke and say I was too young to know any better. But we started pastoring, and the Lord began to bless. It was so sweet. And folks were getting saved, and God was doing things that only we could explain about. The Lord was doing it. It was great. But you know something? Every time we had a victory, and I'm just a kid, and I'm excited. Every time we had a victory, man, it didn't seem like it was 15 minutes after we had a victory. Somebody would call me. Somebody would come by and see me. Somebody would have some type of complaint and growl and gripe about something. I was like, man, this is terrible. We can't ever rejoice in nothing because there's somebody always mad about something. And I start going to the scriptures. It's just how it is. You know that the devil hates it when Christian people are rejoicing, so he sends grumblers around. And in this situation, we meet up with the grumblers. You study and read the New Testament, and you'll notice that many, many times when God does something great, the devil sends along a grumbler. And here comes the Pharisees and scribes, and they are dirty, rotten, whiny pots. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Their scribes and Pharisees murmured. I've underlined the word murmured. A murmur is, it actually sounds like the word murmur. Rah, 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 rah. Have you ever been around a murmur? Rah, 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 rah. One of the definitions I heard of a murmurer was a cooing dove. Rah, rah, I can't do a cooing dove, but I can do a murmur. Rah, 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 rah. A murmurer. Another word that Strong's Concord, it's old, described murmurer as grumble, grumbling, grumbling. Now, I want you to know something. The devil loves grumblers, murmurers. And the devil likes to make grumblers, murmurers, especially out of God's people. You know, if you're not careful, the next thing you know, a little bad experience there, here, a little bad experience there, a disappointment there, it'll turn you into a grumbler. And you need to pay attention. Are you a grumbler? Are you a grumbler? If you're a grumbler, you may be the very person that is discouraging new Christians who are excited about serving the Lord. And I wouldn't want to be that person. You may be the person that is in, that the Lord's going to do his work in spite of you, but you're making it less than fun for everybody else around you. Murmurs. And the interesting thing about these murmurs, these were the people who really thought they were the most churchy of the churchy in the crowd. They were the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were just put out and upset and aggravated that Jesus, this great teacher who'd been teaching and reading the word in the synagogue, this guy would actually eat a meal with publicans and sinners. Clearly, these folks had not caught the vision that Jesus had, that Jesus had come to save the lost. Jesus had come to make a difference in the hearts and lives of people, his foes. They were murmurers. God, help us not to be those folks. And finally, number four, his physician. Who is Levi's physician? It's none other than the great physician himself, Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus claims to be a physician. The Bible says the great physician. In verse 31, Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." So the Pharisees had said, why do you eat with publicans and sinners? And Jesus says, well, that's simple. He says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, look, the people that need me are the people who are sinners. The people that need me are the people who are publicans and sinners. The people who need me are people like Levi who are right in the middle and participating in these acts that are against God, but they need to turn and follow me. Those are the people that need me. Those are the folks that need a physician. Now, I want you to know that something that Jesus was not saying. Jesus was not saying, unlike you, scribes and Pharisees, these publicans and sinners, they need me. Jesus actually, in one of the parallel passages, I think it was in Matthew chapter number 9, I thought it was kind of fun. Jesus gives this comment, and Matthew writes one more thing. He says, Jesus basically tells these scribes and Pharisees, he said, you go figure out what I just said. He said, you go figure out what I just said. Y'all need to think about this too. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Look at verse 32. I think this is my favorite part of this whole passage. Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What's this look like? Jesus had come to a great gathering, publicans and sinners. And Jesus is going to work in this crowd, and he's going to do a great work. And he speaks to these foes, the Pharisees and scribes. He's like, I didn't come to call the righteous. You know, some people have the wrong idea about what churches look like and what churches should look like. Let me just tell you something about the Joy Baptist Church. You may perceive it this way, but anytime I see it starting to look this way, I'm going to do everything I can to bust it up. I'll explain it to you. Our church is not a gathering of the good ones. Our church is not a gathering of the cleanest people in Smith County. Our church is not a gathering of folks who can afford to wear a certain attire. That's foolish. It ain't true. Our church is not a gathering of the righteous. We're not the goody two-shoes who have made a club and we gather together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And we have a Sunday school. We do some really nice things for our community. We're not a gathering of the good ones. If for some reason you're here because you think, I want to be part of the good ones, let me tell you something. We are going to disappoint you. Because we're not a gathering of righteous people who laud ourselves and our great righteousness and our goodness and our good looks. I mean, we are good looking, but I mean, what can I say? Just kidding. Every now and then a little Jimmy Sturgill comes out on me. I can't help it. I hope he hears that. He'll like it. We're not here because we're the good ones that have gathered together. Jesus has called his righteous ones together, and we've got the Jehovah's Baptist Church. That's not true. You know what we are? And if you think of yourself higher than this, perhaps you need to put your trust in Jesus. We are a gathering of people who've come humbly to the understanding that we're sinners. Our sin separates us from God. We have to have a Savior, and Jesus is the only Savior and Lord. And our gathering is for the purpose of humbling ourselves and saying we need Jesus. And with big hearts that have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus, we turn to the outside and we try to find other publicans and sinners just like us who we can share Jesus with. And because there's a constant struggle in our lives, in our world, to live the Christian life, to do the right thing, to live righteously for the glory of God. We gather regularly. We study God's word. We encourage one another. We point each other to Jesus. And we just, the best we know how, keep trying to live for God and his glory. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to the good boys club, to the good girls club. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And that's who we are. And if we ever become anything better by the world standard than that, then we've become a social club and not a Christ-honoring, spirit-filled group of people who have a burden to see God change people's lives for life and eternity. I love the day that Levi, the publican, got saved. He met his physician. Because on that day, God began to do a work in the heart of a man that everybody around him thought, there's no chance, there's no hope. He's a publican. He's a tax collector. But Jesus said, that's a boy that if he'll follow me, I can use. Oh, I love to see and study and think about Levi the publican. You know what Levi the publican did? A publican named Levi, he met Jesus. He followed Jesus, and God used him in a great big way. I'm thankful for it. Let's pray.